Thank you. That's a great title. I'm not going to argue with that at all. I'm not, I don't know how many Bob Dylan documentaries I've seen where he's like, you know, I just was a guy doing my thing. And I'm just like a guy doing my thing, too, but if you can call me whatever you want, I don't mind.
You're comfortable with that title?
I feel lucky, you know. I feel extremely fortunate to have people listen to what I do. And you know, I've had a lot of musician friends over the years, obviously, as any musician does. And very few actually get to make records for a living, go out, perform, travel the world, play for people, make records that are heard around the world, that kind of thing. It's very, very few. And I just feel really lucky that I've been able to do it.
Well, you're coming to town Saturday night. You're going to be playing at the Uptown. Tickets available at 989therock.com, or you can get them at all Ticketmaster locations. Touring behind Carry On, your second solo record. Are you tired of people asking the same questions about why? Because you and I spoke almost a year ago when you were promoting the James Bond song, and I had asked you if things were going, and at that point, because that was when the rumor had started, and you told me unequivocally that things were fine. Were you being a little dishonest with us at the time?
No, not about that. Maybe about other stuff. But in that actual time, you know, I felt like I'm definitely going to go make a solo record. You know, I was already writing songs for it. But, you know, our understanding was that we would do different things maybe for a while and just give it a rest. Because we had written a lot of songs in a very short period of time. We did three records pretty damn quickly and done some touring and, you know, should have been out touring then, but it just didn't happen. And it was really during the course of making my record and mixing it and getting pretty much done with it, and press was starting to stack up, and I realized I was going to be going out doing interviews, and people were going to start asking me about Audioslave, and I had to decide, well, what's my answer going to be? And at that point, I suddenly realized that, you know, I don't really want to go back and do that, but I've spent most of my career, even though I've written so much material by myself alone in a room, I've spent most of it kind of doing it for bands and in these sort of democratic band situations, which creates music that you won't write alone, so that's a good thing. But there's another way to write music, which is sort of, you know, alone, and you know, whatever strikes you, whatever mood strikes you, whatever inspiration you have, you just do it. And there is no communication involved. There's no communication required. And a different kind of music comes out of that. And I wanted to start spending more time doing that. And that also translates into touring. It translates into being able to do a lot of different, you know, one-off collaborations, doing more or less whatever that surrounds your career, anytime and in any way you want. And I felt like it's time for me, so I'm just going to basically quit the band, because I don't want to be going out for the next 5 years then actually lying about it and saying, yeah, I don't know, you know, we're good, we'll make another record, because I just suddenly felt like I didn't want to. I think in absence is going to create one of two things. Either you're going to be like, God, I really miss this band and really miss working this way with these people, or it's going to be like, wow, this is great, I should have been doing this. And that was kind of the feeling that I got. Not that I regret making Audioslave records. I'm really glad I did it. We made three great records. I wouldn't change a thing, and it's a very important thing that happened to me in my life. And, you know, there are three really important guys that in my life that were part of it.
If you're just joining the program, Chris Cornell, now solo voice of himself and former voice of Audioslave and Soundgarden, joining us. I'm going to present you a rumor, and I want you to just tell me whether or not it was true or false. Prior to the release of the very first Audioslave record, you and the band had decided you didn't want to work together, but because the record had already been done, you decided to try to reconcile. True or false?
It's kind of true. It really, I think the record did help. It helped us sort of deal with business issues that we had to deal with so that we would remain a band and put it out. Had that happened before the record was finished and it was a long way from being done, yeah, we probably wouldn't have finished it.
So it was one of those relationships that was based on pretty tumultuous from the beginning.
Yeah, not necessarily the fault of the four guys in the band, really.
Sure.
It was kind of situational. We were sort of stuck with having two separate record deals that could be enforceable, kind of. And so there had to be a lot that happened for us to be able to be Audioslave in the beginning. And the record company aspect of it wasn't as much of a problem as management and legal teams and business management and all these other things, where when Audioslave was formed, showed up with kind of two of them. And getting all of those different people to play nice and work together towards, you know, the same end, which is, you know, supporting your clients, which is Audioslave, was really difficult. On the management side, especially, you know, there were two different management companies, both, you know, feeling like they had the same responsibility, which is protect our artist. That doesn't really work when a band is trying to form and become one. And you know, that created a lot of problems, a lot of difficulty. And then I had a lot of personal issues at the time too. That didn't help either. Once we got through that, then, you know, it was all good. And some of that kind of reared its head later, and is a part of, I think, why I didn't really want to be in the band after the three records, issues that we just never really resolved. Best way I can describe that is like I came from a band of 14 years where we kind of were used to working one way, and those guys were in a band for, I don't know, 10 years or something, used to doing things a different way. And we were spending a lot of time just kind of sitting around trying to come to some sort of a middle ground where we could agree on how we were going to move forward. And everybody really tried hard to do that, but it just didn't happen.
Okay, so that thing works its way towards its conclusion, and now you're off doing Chris Cornell as a solo artist. And, you know, it's funny because I've read other interviews with you where you tell everybody, you know, hey, look, this is still a band. I still have a band on stage. I'm still playing in a band environment.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I've gotten a lot of different sort of strange responses. I just did an interview where the guy's like, so how is it different now that it's just you all alone on stage versus having a band with you? And I think the guy actually thought that's what I do. And I had another guy also ask me why I call it a Chris Cornell solo record when other people besides me play on it. And I had to point him towards, like, critical Bruce Springsteen and Bob Dylan records to just go back and sort of learn how it's done. So he doesn't ever have to ask anyone that question anymore.
Joined by Chris Cornell on 98.9 The Rock. You're in town Saturday night at the Uptown, which is a nice venue. I don't know if you've ever played there before. But a cool place to go check out Chris Cornell. And it is a full band thing, just so everybody is very, very clear. It's not like you with an acoustic guitar on a stool.
No, it's just me a cappella singing all the songs from my career, just with no accompaniment at all, just my voice.
Oh, awesome. That's
a megaphone, so it's really annoying sounding.
Yeah, that'll go over great.
Everybody.
What's the balance between, you know, the solo material that you've done between Euphoria Morning, the Carry On record? Obvious. Do you do any of this stuff, any of the Temple record or any of the Soundgarden and Audioslave stuff, or are you just doing primarily solo stuff and then, you know, the occasional Billie Jean cover?
We have like a repertoire that's probably 4.5 hours long.
No kidding.
So we play about 2.5 hours. So when I write up the set list, it's kind of based on what we're having fun with at the moment. And there's kind of an acoustic moment in the middle of the set that goes on for an undetermined length of time. I don't really write that as a set list. I just sort of start playing songs and see where that goes. I take requests, actually, if I can hear. Usually everyone's all yelling the songs at the same time. We do songs in our repertoire, songs that go back as far as Louder Than Love, you know, several songs from Bad Motor Finger, Super Unknown, a couple songs from Down on the Upside. We can do like 6 different songs from Temple of the Dog. There's a lot of songs I did for movies, solo songs over the years. We know all those. And of course, the new record. And a couple songs from Euphoria Morning. So it's going to be a set list made up of some combination of all of those records.
Have you played Big Dumb Sex yet on this tour?
No, I haven't ever done that. I stopped doing that when I started seeing like sort of meat-headed kind of frat boys singing the song back to me, pumping their fists in the air like it was a song I had meant to write, you know, in a serious sense. Which really, that song was sort of a joke song making fun of songs written by, you know, guys like George Michael and Prince, who basically are having these huge top 40 hits. coming up with other words to use in the place of the F word. And I just thought, you know, why doesn't anyone just write a song and put the actual word in? And so I did
it. Well, Black Flag had already done it.
Who had already done it?
Black Flag had done some stuff with the F word in it.
Had they?
Yeah.
About sex?
Oh, I don't think it was about sex. I think they were just being profane.
This was sort of like, you know, making fun of top 40 kind of sex music by putting the actual word in. And what's funny is that there's actually a woman at A&M Records that said, if you release this record, I'm going to quit working here because I don't believe that, that this record company should be releasing music like this, which is so stupid because the song, it wasn't gender specific. All it did was have that word in it, and the content was exactly the same as like a Prince song or a Madonna song. And just that word scared her so much that she didn't even understand it. She was just incredibly stupid. And a couple of people who were supporters from the record company went and they got some like NWA records and some like hardcore hip hop records that, you know, have this insanely violent and sexist lyrics, and like had to read those and say, yeah, check that out. That's you know, this is what the other labels release. So if you want to go there and be an accountant there, you know, knock yourself out. It was kind of funny, but I do know a couple of people that played it.
Oh, yeah. I would think I was doing college radio at the time, and we played it then, too, because we had about as much power output as your average home toaster, so nobody could really hear it. Only the people in the dorms could hear it.
Did you get calls? Did anyone call up and get upset with you?
No, people loved it. We used to get requests for it.
Yeah.
People loved that. It was a great song.
You know, musically, I really it was one of the hookier Soundgarden songs. Like if the lyrics were different, it would have been plastered all over the radio.
Absolutely,
that word in it.
When the second Audio Slave record came out, we noticed that there was a distinct similarity between "Your Time Has Come" and "Get on the Snake."
Yeah, you're right.
Almost the exact same riff.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I said thank you,
Chris Cornell. Thank you very much for taking time out and hanging out with us. We're going to be seeing you on Saturday night at the Uptown. Tickets on sale at 989therock.com as well as your local Ticketmaster locations. Thank you for taking time out to talk to us, Chris. It was always a good time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'll see you Saturday.
All right.